Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day. So back before there was Facebook, back before we had our own computers and there was a family shared computer in my dad's office that we were sometimes allowed to use when the phone wasn't busy, back then I had something that was called a MySpace page. And if you were a teenager in the early 2000s, maybe you had one too. And if MySpace still existed, and thank the Lord Jesus that it does not, I would be able to show you, like a time capsule, my early adolescent years, those really, really awkward early teenage years. So MySpace page is kind of like a pre-Facebook thing, and I had one, and you'll just have to trust me, since I can't show it to you, it doesn't exist anymore. There were these sections of a MySpace page where teenagers would put inspirational quotes or lyrics from their favorite songs, and it was like right under their names, this section where you were just declaring to the internet and whoever was listening these things you really, really believed. Now, people still do this on the internet, on Instagram and Facebook and different kinds of platforms. It's one of the great things about social media that it gives people, individual people, a chance to kind of declare to the little corner of the universe that is paying attention, this is me, this is something I care about, this is who I am, which is really exciting. So MySpace did this for kids, and kids would put these quotes, and me, being the super church kid that I was, included a quote from my pastor in this section of my MySpace page, and this is what the quote was. Doubt is the ants in your pants of faith. Joe Schenck. I know, it's deep. Not Pastor Joe, not Reverend Joe Schenck of such and such church. Nope, just doubt is the ants in your pants of faith. Joe Schenck is something that early teenage Amanda just wanted to declare as something she believed and thought was important out on that little corner of the universe. Now, I think it's really kind of crazy that phrases, words can stick with us for that long of a time. That was almost 20 years ago, and it was one phrase in one sermon, one Sunday, that my pastor said, but it stuck with me. And it stuck with me so much, I wanted it to be a part of that section of my MySpace page where people were, you know, declaring their beliefs and things that they thought were important and trying to be deep and inspirational. Doubt is the ants in your pants of faith is what I put on there. Now that idiom, ants in your pants, it's like this saying that means, you know, you're so excited or you're so nervous or anxious about something that you can't calm down. And, you know, we all know what that can feel like sometimes, to be so wired up, to be so anxious that being calm is really hard. You know, and what that silly quote taught me actually, and really what my whole childhood church taught me, is that it did normalize that doubt is a part of faith, that doubt and faith are actually connected. And you know, that's actually really unique. It's not like that everywhere, because in some homes or in some churches, doubt can be this thing that we're scared of. It can be this slippery slope that leads to no faith at all. But growing up, I learned and I was taught and it was modeled for me that doubt is a part of faith. And I think that's one of the reasons why that quote sticks with me all these years later. So we're in a series right now called To Be Continued, where we're looking at all of these encounters of the risen Jesus right after Easter. In each of these encounters, we see Jesus coming to his followers, coming to his disciples after they thought everything was finished, done for good. And Jesus is showing them that there is a to be continued story, and they get to be a part of it. Pastor Josh shared part one of this series last week with the story of Jesus appearing to Mary Magdalene in the garden. And the next story, the next encounter that we have, it happens in two parts. That same day, that day that we remember as Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, the disciples, they were all gathered together in that room, that upper room where they celebrated the Last Supper. The disciples, after everything that Jesus had went through that week, they went back to that room to kind of hide out and to regroup and to figure out what to do next. And it was in that room on that Resurrection Sunday, even though the doors were locked, that Jesus found them and appeared to them. And he said, "Peace be with you." And he let them look at his body, at his hands, and at his side, and they believed. And then we get the rest of the story here, picking up in verse 24 of John's Gospel. But Thomas, who was called the twin, was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." If you've grown up in church, you have probably heard this story many times, or parts of this story many times. You know this Thomas character. You've heard about his questions, and I bet you even know his nickname. If you've grown up in church, if you know Thomas's nickname, you can shout it out with me. What do we know Thomas by? Doubting Thomas. That's right. Doubting Thomas is how we remember this story. Along the way, somehow, the church turned this story of Thomas's interaction with the risen Jesus into kind of a children's fable with a warning message about how good little boys and girls aren't supposed to ask so many questions like Thomas. The irony of Thomas being remembered as the doubting disciple is that all of the disciples struggled to believe that Jesus was really risen from the dead. When Jesus appeared to Mary in the garden, he told her, "Go and find the disciples and tell them everything that has happened." And she did. And as far as we can tell from the story, Mary's testimony did nothing for them. They needed to see to believe. Then that same night, Jesus did just that. He appeared to the disciples, and they could see and experience and believe that Jesus was really risen, that Jesus was alive again. And so Thomas was doing the exact same thing. Thomas had some questions based on his friend's testimony that they had seen Jesus risen. Thomas had some questions, and he risked saying them out loud. "No, I want to see his hands. I want to touch them. I want to see his side. I need to feel it." So the very next week, they were together again in that room, and Jesus came into that room again, this time for Thomas. He came for Thomas so that Thomas could see and experience and believe that that what God said would happen happened, and Jesus was risen from the dead. Last week, this story was the story for the Sunday school, our small group, our youngest small group of kids, and this was their lesson. And during the kids' message, where they come forward, I got to talk to them about this story, and we talked about our five senses. And, you know, they helped me name them all out. We have our sight and our sound and our scent and our touch and our taste. We have these senses. And even though sometimes by birth or by accident or by getting older, these senses are affected, we have these senses, these sensations to experiencing life, to experiencing God in this life. And isn't that what this story is about? Isn't that the gift that is in this story, that we have these experiences of all different kinds with God? Jesus appearing to the disciples again and again so they could experience his risen body, so that they could take it all in with all their senses. Isn't this story about our God coming to us exactly as we need them, and not about the disciple who risks naming what they need? When Thomas is able to experience the risen Jesus in his body, he does believe, professing his faith by saying, "My Lord and my God." To call Jesus Lord is to know who Jesus is. This entire time that Jesus was on the earth, he was God in a body, showing people God's character, showing people God's kingdom. To call Jesus Lord is to know who Jesus is. To follow Jesus is to follow God, and to call him Lord is to put your hope that he is the Messiah, the chosen one, the Savior. Mary professes her faith, "I have seen the Lord." The disciples, they rejoice when they saw the Lord, but Thomas takes it one step further. Thomas makes it personal. My Lord and my God. Isn't it true that sometimes our seasons of doubt, sometimes our questions lead us into even deeper relationship with Jesus, into even deeper places of faith? You might already know this, but in case you missed it somehow, we have some incredible young people in our church. And last week I got to talk to some of our high school kids about this story of Thomas and about their doubts. And it gave me so much hope once again in the next generation. You know, I told them that Thomas is kind of remembered and cast off for his questions. And one of the students says, "Well, that's kind of mean." I was like, "Yeah, you're right." We talked about whether faith questions were acceptable. Were they okay growing up, either in their homes or in their church? We talked about what it feels like when our questions are taken seriously, about faith or about anything. We talked about the value of being open-minded, about staying curious. And we talked about how our questions, they might change as we get older. I was so encouraged that at least for these kids, in these homes, in these church groups, questions were a good thing. Questions helped. But I know that's not the case everywhere, and it might not be the case for you. In some houses, in some families, in some churches, questions are scary. Questions are dangerous. Whether we're talking about our faith or our politics or our families or our communities, anywhere there are deeply held beliefs, those deep in your bones, this is who we are and why we were created beliefs, anywhere there are those beliefs, questions are often seen as threats, threats to the very things we believe are most true. So questions can be seen as very scary. And it's not actually just questions, is it? It's life. Life can bring things our way. What we have gone through, the tragedies we've gone through, the transitions, the traumas that we didn't expect and we didn't ask for, they can wreck our faith with their questions. That's one of the things that's so scary about it, all of these things that we've experienced in life, all those questions that come that keep us up at night. We can be so scared to start pulling that thread of questions for the fear that our whole lives will just unravel around us. Our questions can be scary. And so it makes sense, doesn't it, that over the years we have made this story about Thomas into reinforcing this message that questions aren't helpful. Don't be like Thomas and his questions. Just kind of have the belief that doesn't need any questions. Just believe better and ask less questions. It makes sense. It feels safer. One of my friends, she does youth ministry out in Philadelphia, and last Sunday was her confirmation Sunday, where they got to celebrate all of their young people getting confirmed. And as part of her message, she looked out into the congregation and she had them raise their hands if any one of these things was true. Have you ever experienced something that made you believe in God? Have you ever experienced something that made you feel indifferent about God? Have you ever experienced something that made you doubt God? And as all these hands went up throughout the whole congregation, she was helping her students see that they were joining a community of people whose lives have been rocked, whose lives have been made solid. Their faith has been rocked and their faith has become solid, and everything in between. She wanted them to see that it was normal and they were not alone. What Jesus is inviting Thomas to do in this story, what Jesus is inviting you and me in this story to do, is to move from unbelief to believing. Jesus invites Thomas and Jesus invites each of us over and over again to move from a place of unbelieving to believing. And in those moments of our lives when we feel mad at God, abandoned by God, when we feel like we could care less about God, Jesus is in those moments too, showing up and showing himself, inviting us to believe just a little more. And not out of a place of shame or of judgment, but out of love, Jesus continues to show up and show himself even in those moments of our doubt, saying, look, here's my body. Take another look, ask another question. Here I am, it's okay. Believe just a little more. As we close, I am going to invite us to pray. And as we do, I'm going to ask you to do something that you might find just a little uncomfortable, but that's okay. I'm going to invite you as we pray to open your hands in front of you. You can rest them on your lap if you're sitting down. Maybe if you can, just hold them out in front of you so you can feel that weight a little bit of what it's like to have your hands out. This story a lot is about Jesus's hands and his hands being out and open and reaching towards us. I don't know where you are in your story with God, but there is a to be continued version of your story too. So as we pray, as you hold your hands out there, I just invite you to put it all in front of you. Your questions, your doubts, those moments that have made you wonder if God is really with you. And hold it in front of you, knowing that God is holding his hands out to you, inviting you to believe just a little more. So let's pray. God, we give you thanks for these bodies, for these hands that we have here and all that they are holding. God, we invite you to hold it with us. God, I pray over those of us who still have really, really big questions about who you are and what your plan is for us and for your church and for the world. And we offer you those questions now. God, we pray for all of us that have really painful moments in our past, moments when we felt like you weren't anywhere to be found. God, in this moment, we pray that we would feel you with us. God, for those of us who can't feel anything of you right now, help us to trust that you are still with us in this moment, inviting us to take a step and believe a little more. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.